So I will read again the translation so that we have it in the context. All the sages said, "Dear Dhruva, O son of King Uttanapada, may the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Shangadanva, who relieves the distress of his devotees, kill all your threatening enemies. The holy name of the Lord is as powerful as the Lord himself. Therefore, simply by chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord, many men can be fully protected from fierce death without difficulty. Thus, a devotee is saved." Prabhupada. The great rishis approached Dhruva Maharaj at a time when his mind was very perplexed due to the magical feats exhibited by the yakshas. A devotee is always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By his inspiration only, the sages came to encourage Dhruva Maharaj and assure him that there was no danger because he was a soul fully surrendered to the Supreme Lord. By the grace of the Lord, if a devotee at the time of death can simply chant his holy name,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Simply by chanting this Maha Mantra, he immediately surpasses the great ocean of the material sky and enters the spiritual sky. He never has to come back for repetition of birth and death. Simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can surpass the ocean of death. So Dhruva Maharaj was certainly able to surpass the illusory magical feats of the yakshas, which for the time being disturbed his mind.
Nama Om Vishnu Paraya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyari Shatarine.
Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Shrivasadi Gaura Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
All the sages said, "Dear Dhruva, O son of King Uttanapada, may the Supreme Personality of Godhead known as Shangadanva, who relieves the distresses of his devotees, kill all your threatening enemies. The holy name of the Lord is as powerful as the Lord himself. Therefore, simply by chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord, many men can be fully protected from fierce death without difficulty. Thus, a devotee is saved." This verse is a very interesting verse, and it is very nicely suited to start a day or another day of Padayatra. As you are all well aware of, today we start our second week of Pada Yatra, which so far has been a very successful endeavor. Just to narrate you one of the nice outcomes of Pada Yatra. There are many, but one is when we passed through Weinheim, two friends of Lord Krishna, two people who had visited the Sunday feast in Heidelberg heard the chanting of the holy names through their windows and immediately decided to join the Pada Yatra. You might remember they came on the last stretch after Weinheim, before Hemsbach. So they were so enthusiastic about the whole thing. They said, now we understand what is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. Somehow chanting with the devotees before Sisi Gonitai and this marching had done something to them, some transformation or realization in the heart. They felt very inclined. So the man said in the end, may I embrace you? He was just so happy. And I said, why not, if it helps? He did so. And the next day, the devotees in the temple told me that these two people had come to the Heidelberg temple and had joined our circle of friends. That's a circle which gives every month, you know, each one gives every month 108 marks as a donation to support the different activities of the temple. And the temple in turn offers them a little package of prasadam every day, every month, and a newsletter and other small things which inspire their Krishna consciousness. So he said, when I was in my house, I was hearing the chanting, and I was thinking, is it from the radio or is it from the TV? But both of them, TV and radio, was shut off. So he ran to the window, and then he saw the procession passing by, and immediately they were just cooking something on the stove, but they took the fire out and they just came along. They left everything. You were like the button finger from Hamlet. It's not the most appropriate analogy, there are better ones. You were like the magnets drawing the swords back to Krishna. So this is marks now the second week. It's very nice to see that you are all still enthusiastic and ready to chant and dance in the glowing sun of the holy name, which will certainly evaporate all the material contaminations which are surrounding the heart like thick fog. That will all go. So today we have a verse on the chanting which is giving some very, very interesting insights, new insights in the glories of the holy name. This verse appears in the Leela, let us say, the story of Dhruva Maharaj in the first canto. We have been lecturing already on two or three verses of this passage, but let me describe to you what happened after. Dhruva Maharaj was crowned the king of the vast empire of Uttanapada. He had the blessing that for 36,000 years he would rule the kingdom without any decrease in his sensory powers. In other words, his senses would remain strong all the way through, and afterwards he would go to the pole star, where on which there is a spiritual, on a spiritual dimension or in a spiritual realm, there is the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead situated. So, Dhruva, then, then one day something terrible happened. When Dhruva was already for some time, when he was when he became king, his father immediately left for the forest without even taking care of marrying him, as it is customarily done in these royal dynasties. He was so eager, Uttanapada, his father was so eager to give up the dream of this material existence and go into the forest that he was very, very, very brisal in it, very fast in it. So now, after some time, Dhruva Maharaj received a terrible information. His brother had gone into the forest and there he was killed in an encounter with a yaksha. What is a yaksha, you might ask? The yakshas are beings who have mystical potencies. They live in what is now Tibet, and there are many explanations how the Tibetans come from this mystical tribe called yakshas. I've heard from devotees who have preached there that also the Tibetans nowadays are very knowledgeable about tantra, mystical practices, control over different entities. There are many what we would call magicians amongst them. That is no wonder they come from the yakshas. That's why they have also interesting habits and so on and so forth. Let's say it like this. So one yaksha killed the brother of Dhruva Maharaj, and Dhruva Maharaj was not going to let this happen without intervention. So he went and came to the city of Alakapuri. When he saw Alakapuri from the distance, it's very nicely described, he saw many ghost-like creatures who had not all their bodily limbs together, who looked with very distorted faces like creatures of a nightmare. And so Dhruva was ready to finish the town. He blew his conch and the ghostly beings, they came to fight with him. Now Dhruva Maharaj became very, very successful in combating, so that he actually slaughtered many of them. Finally, all the warriors of the yakshas just ran away from the battlefield. But then, as Dhruva Maharaj was relaxing a little, a terrible inferno happened. All of a sudden, pus, Ida, and stool began to rain from the skies. Oceans of water were coming and snakes of terrible dimensions were hissing. Lions came, and the few men who were there with Dhruva got totally shocked. There's a picture in this connection painted by our devotees, which I would like to show all of you so that you know how terrible it was. Yeah. Can you see this? Huh? Is Dhruva Maharaj dressed in a yellow garment and all this scene is going around him? So, everyone got totally bewildered. What was that? The explanation, das ist das Telefon, ihr müsst das da abnehmen. Ja. So, are you with us again, Alexander? Good. So, there were many. These what was going on? These were
Ludwigsplatz.
Oh, we must reach here then. So let us be fast. Dhruva Maharaj was totally in illusion. Was totally overwhelmed by these illusory things. Imagine now, all of a sudden in this bus, different lions would attack you. I mean, this would be quite disturbing for the concentration. So these illusions were so strong that everyone totally lost their composure and became totally disturbed, screamed and ran and so on and so forth. So because Dhruva Maharaj was so saintly, the saints appeared to him, which were sent by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they gave him a tip. They said, why don't you chant? The holy name of the Lord is as powerful as the Lord himself. Therefore, simply by chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord, many can be fully protected from fierce death without difficulty. Thus a devotee is saved. And Prabhupada makes in commenting this passage a very interesting point. Also, as devotees of the Lord, we are sometimes totally bewildered by the events of the life which happen in our life. Desires appear from almost nowhere, and we think we have to act upon those desires. The illusion might appear that I will never be able to become Krishna's near and dear devotee. Devotees in this world are also attacked by many illusions. One reason of this is that by our previous activities which we have done so far, our heart is still not totally free from karmic reactions. These karmic reactions, they lie there in the form of seeds. It's called aparapta karma, unmanifested karma, and these seeds all of a sudden begin to sprout in the form of desires. For instance, we might find ourselves blissfully engaged in devotional service, all of a sudden a desire appears to become a rock star in Croatia. or you know, I'm saying something quite extreme, but or to violently change our ashram, to do a totally different thing. Attachments might come, and they might create a very distracting and also disturbing scene in our mind. This is called karma. Non-manifested karma, aparapta karma, is manifesting. So for a devotee who is very near, who is close to the Lord, who is sincere, these things only manifest on the subtle platform. Each one of us, this is explained in the Bhagavatam in a very interesting way, each one of us has many of these seeds within. You have a whole, let us say, mountain of seeds with you, Ramapati, like everyone else. things which we have done, do we want them to manifest? Obviously not. If you think what was your life before Krishna consciousness, and if you imagine what it was before this life form of, as a human being born in Slovenia, it might not be so encouraging to even know it. Isn't it so? There are certainly many results from our different deeds. How we killed the Jew in our last life, and how we, did so many heavy things, this is certainly still with us. Now, for a devotee who is sincere, these karmic reactions only, please listen to this, manifest on the subtle platform, either in dreams, that all of a sudden in dreams we see certain manifestations of desire, see ourselves in situations which are most disturbing for us, whatever it may be, or we see it in the form of desires. All of a sudden these illusions are created in our minds and we become attracted to them. What this is that if you are a sincere devotee, I presume most of you are, this is just the karmic reactions, the aparapta karma, as it's stated in Sanskrit, manifesting on the subtle platform. Now, what to do with it? This is the question. What to do if you have a wild dream, or if all of a sudden wild desires come, or if you are totally bewildered about something? The answer is, you do not actually need to act upon these desires and illusions, but you need to do something about the illusions, because if they are in the mind for long, you might actually feel forced to act upon those desires and again become entangled in material life. So let us see what can we do about it. It's very, very interesting. Please listen carefully. I will make it very fast. Nishamya garatamevam rishinam danushi dhruva sandadestram utashkoshya jnanarayana nirmitam sandhyamana etasmin maya guyaka nirmita chipram vineshu vidura lesha jnanodaye yata tasya shastram danushi prayunyata. Doesn't work any longer than meter. Nzuvana panka kalahang savasasa inishtrita vishud vishad balam yadhavanam bhimaravashikandina. My dear Vidura, when Dhruva Maharaj heard the encouraging words of the great sages, chant the holy name that will protect you from death, he performed the archaman by touching water and then took up his arrow made by Lord Narayan and fixed it upon his bow. Prabhupada, Dhruva Maharaj was given a specific arrow made by Lord Narayan himself, and he now fixed it upon his bow to finish the illusory atmosphere created by the yakshas. As it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, mam eva ye prapadyante mayamitam tarantite. Without Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, no one is able to overcome the action of the illusory energy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also given us a nice weapon for this age, as stated in the Bhagavatam. Sangopangastra. In this age, the Narayanastra, a weapon to drive away Maya, is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
In pursuance of the associates of Lord Chaitanya such as Advaita Prabhu, Nityananda, Gadadha and Srivash. So, just like Dhruva Maharaj took a weapon given to him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a devotee in this world can also take a spiritual weapon, which is the chanting of the holy name. It is described, as soon as Dhruva Maharaj took this weapon on the brow, the illusions created by the yakshas were immediately disappearing, just like pains and pleasures immediately disappear when when someone becomes self-realized. Have you noticed when you have so many illusions in your umski, in your mind, and you have so many, you are disturbed about it? Like the sun and Maya, the illusory energy of Krishna is like darkness. Darkness means the absence of light. Similarly, Maya means absence of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness and Maya are always there, side by side. As soon as there is awakening of Krishna consciousness, all the illusory pains and pleasures of material existence are vanquished. Constant chanting of the mantra will keep us always aloof from the illusory energy of Maya. You're very glad to hear this. So, the resultant actions of the past karmic life which we all have can be vanquished by sincere chanting of the holy name. Now how could now you might say, well, I'm chanting, nothing has happened so far. Not much has happened so far. Well, I think we should improve our chanting a little bit. There are three kinds of chantings. One is called the offensive chanting, and when we do that, we can chant the name for millions of years. Nothing will happen. We will only actually have the syllables of the name, H-A and R-E. That it will be all. As long as we chant the Maha Mantra, we won't have Krishna in the form of his holy name, but just the empty shell, so to say, a verbal syllable, but not Krishna. But even if we chant, with a sincere desire to avoid offenses and to concentrate on the holy name, Krishna will be there, just like the sun is there in the morning by its rays. The sun may not be visible as of yet, but the rays are already there and they start driving away the darkness. And when the sun appears, it's called in the morning, it's Abbas, and just the rays are there, then all the inauspicious elements like gangsters, crooks and Draculas and so on, they just disappear. Dracula closes his coffin and so on and so forth. So even if we just try to chant without offenses and try to concentrate, we will see how the rays of the holy name will drive away our inauspiciousness. And with this I want to close. I want to give you a little advice how to improve your chanting. Those who have done it have had overwhelming results, and I feel it can help all of us also. Our Padayatra will be more successful if we chant with great strength. We do already, but we can improve. First of all is, be well rested when you start. If you are too tired, your mind will not be under your control. Second, chant by clearly articulating the syllables of the mantra, Hare Krishna. And you should use, Prabhupada says, your upper and lower lip and the tongue. It's work. Really chant the mantra. Then look from time to time at your at a clock to see if your timing is correct. If you take 15 minutes for a round, it might mean that you either suffer from a serious case of space outness, or that you fall asleep in between. And if you have chanted your round in 3 minutes, it might mean that you have gone too fast on your counting. So look for some time. If you are in the right time, it helps. Then be careful that you listen to the mantra. This is called the second stage in chanting. Now we come to the third stage. Often when we chant, we begin to either plan the day, then I will do this, then this has to be purchased, then this has to be arranged. Or what we also sometimes do is we become active. While chanting we look, oh, very interesting how this is produced, you know, and so on, and we become active. This must be stopped. Now we come to the first point. Sometimes it happens unconsciously. You're chanting and all of a sudden you find yourself in the cinema of the past. Your mind plays a scene on playback which happened 5 years ago, and which it actually has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness and improving your Krishna consciousness. You might find yourself on a chessboard playing chess and so on and so forth, and thinking, oh, I should move the farmer to this field, you know. That one, please. you might find yourself in dreamland utopia, that is the future. Wherever the mind wanders due to its restless nature, take it back and bring it under the control of the self. Please, dear devotees, practice this. It will give you a very, very nice result in your chanting. You will actually experience how the rays of the holy name will drive away all darkness which comes from inauspicious past, so to say. And you will see how the illusions and hopes and desires which are now maybe manifested in your lives because of previous activities will disappear. Be well rested. I think that's the easiest point in all of it. Just do some work, pronounce the mantra using your lips, hear it, see that you are using the proper time. Then stop the plan making office up here. It has holidays for the time of chanting. They should best go, the plan makers. And fourth of it, withdraw your mind from wherever it goes due to its restless nature. When you do this, you will find yourself happily gliding on the or riding on the wind of the holy name. You will be carried by the spiritual energy of the holy name. It's a wonderful experience. This of course applies to japa and also kirtan. We do kirtan today. So I want to really stop here because we have our time at 10:30 in Darmstadt. I think we are already in Darmstadt, isn't it? One of the suburbs, poor Orte. So maybe what one of you could do, because we do have sometimes, I could, if there are some questions, I can ask the question. Maybe someone can take care of the prasad, see what is with the prasad. Ach so. Nothing really good. Yeah. Okay, so we're waiting for the offering. So do you have any questions regarding to all this? How do you like this point that karmic unmanifested karma manifests on the subtle platform? Isn't that a wonderful point? It's you don't have to experience it, in other words. It's just there in the... That's why a devotee sometimes is bewildered. One time a devotee who might be well situated as a brahmachari all of a sudden gets wild. Ooh, I must marry two. There is because in his previous existence he was getting into he had such experience like a married man, and therefore they are now coming in there bewildering him, but he doesn't have to act on it. It's just the karma being evaporated in this way. In a usual conditioned soul, the karma gets evaporated in another way. They just have to live through the experience and get the pains and pleasures of that experience. But a devotee doesn't have to do it. Do you understand this point? It's a special mercy of the Lord. Just like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, just like Mother Yashoda was allowed to see the whole universe within the mouth of Krishna. At one time, everything was there. So in the same way, in a devotee's life, all of a sudden, he might be confronted with all the karmic results which are still lingering, all this aparapta karma. That's why life sometimes gets so heavy as a devotee. On the mental platform. It's natural. Yes.
I have one example in my program. He was talking that sometimes the next devotee says that you have to go through darkness before you see light. The devotee has to see the darkness.
Yes.
You sit there and you can't see anything in the darkness.
Tamasima! Duti Gama! Through the darkness! To the light. That's a Sanskrit term. Yes, that's very nice. Yes. At that time, we need the. How do you say it? The effulgent footprints of the previous acharyas follow them through the darkness. Wir müssen die Fußspuren der vergangenen Acharyas, die leuchtenden Fußspuren, die müssen wir folgen. Und ihn durch die Dunkelheit durch. I wanted to tell you something very interesting. Tadva Sandhava and myself have a friend called Nina Hagen. Today I received a very encouraging phone call from Shakshu. Our General Chakshu Vienna, he visited Nina on a concert which she gave in Linz, and after the concert brought her a huge cake. So Nina said, what should we do with it? And Chakshus suggested, why don't we go before the stage and distribute the cake to all the fans. I help you. All right, she was very enthusiastic, running into her wound wagon and getting ready for the action, and then they went before the stage. And so thousands of people wanted to eat the Krishna cake. So Chakshu gave her a huge knife, and she started to put the knife on the cake, but then she almost dropped the knife because she was so shocked, because she was cutting in the name Krishna. She said, I can't cut the name Krishna. Krishna is identical with his holy name. So then they started from another angle and, you know, just distributed, and people asked who made the cake. She said, the devotees from Vienna. Yeah. So if you do see a poster of Nina somewhere, and she will be in Germany. I really, she comes to Hannover.
Yeah.
Tatva, you really should see her, and with a cake maybe, and after the concert, you know, then you can all distribute it, and it will be a great, preaching opportunity to many conditioned souls who are inspired by that sometimes heretic behavior. She said to Chakshu, I know Krishna is the source of all information, isn't it? All right. He says, when an accident, an unfall or something happens, he knows it is due to my past misdeeds. But Krishna, in his great kindness, has reduced the extent of the reaction to something which is tolerable. And now, listen, this is explained by Sanatana Goswami. He has given this accident or whatever it is at a time where I can, so that I can learn to become detached from material life. When a boil comes or something, you can learn, oh, what is this ugly body? You know, I thought I missed the beautiful, but here the pus is dripping out of my nose, you know, and so on and so forth. Or when your knees get wild, you just go, oh, I'm actually meant to the spiritual life. I'm actually meant to go back to Krishna. We have a few devotees who are quite bettered by Parivaru Prabhu. This Parivaru has gotten all the permissions for the marketplaces. He just had an operation, I heard, isn't it? He should be in bed, but he's walking around. Please sometimes take him on the ox cart. He might become too enthusiastic to walk. You must take care of him. So a devotee, when there is also suffering, he thinks, I should deserve much more. But Krishna has reduced it. And this is good that the suffering is happening, because now I'm relieved from millions of sinful reactions. Nice that the knees are paining, because now the reactions from many lifetimes of suffering go through the knees away. They disappear. You can imagine, you know, little crows, you know, coming out of your knees. All right. So should we end here? Good. Hare Krishna. So we should be a little fast, I think, because in our prasaram, so that we can start quickly. Is there anything for Ushunam Prabhu which we can do to accelerate the process?